Hi, it's Leanne Dolan, and my new book, The Marriage Sabbatical, is out now and available everywhere. People magazine chose it as an April pick of the month, one of the best this week. A hopeful take on commitment, they said, and an innovative story about marriage. Sounds juicy. The Marriage Sabbatical, out now, available everywhere.
Hi, Satellite Sisters. We're excited to announce our new weekly newsletter, Pep Talk. That's right, it's happening. A little pep talk in your inbox on Fridays, starting in August. Every issue will be short and sweet with podcast highlights, our recommendations for books, TVs, and films that are going to keep you entertained, plus recipes and other, you know, tidbits. And of course, there'll be a little pep talk because we all need that right now, don't we? It's the perfect newsletter to enjoy and then share with your Satellite Sisters and Misters. You can find sign-up links all over the place, on our social media, on our website, on our Facebook, on our Instagram. We would love to have you sign up for Pep Talk now. Thanks. You're listening to Satellite Sisters.
What's a satellite sister?
The person you call when the best thing in your life happens or the worst.
The person that gets you up, gets you going, and gets you through.
And every once in a while, changes your mind.
This podcast is part pep talk, part weekly check-in.
Like grabbing coffee with a friend.
Thanks for being here. Welcome to the Satellite Sisterhood.
You're listening to Satellite Sisters. Thanks for being with us today. I'm Leanne Dolan here in Pasadena, California. I'm a writer and producer. And today I'm going to talk to you about my new decorating for the holidays strategy. So join me, won't you, Liz and Julie? Join me.
Woohoo! That's nice to know, Leanne. Well, you'll just have to send pictures of that around to everyone because obviously you don't have a lot of people coming over for the holidays, but it's for you. Keep hope alive. Keep the holiday spirit alive. I was actually watching something on TV last night where I thought, I think that's Leanne's street. You know, I think you see your street a lot on TV. I forget what show it was. anyway, so, hey, yeah, this is Liz. I'm in Santa Monica in my second bedroom here with Hooper, hanging out, doing okay. We're just doing our thing here. How about you, Julie?
Well, this is Julie Dolan. I'm the oldest sister and I'm in Dallas, Texas. I'm an empty nester. I was an urban nana, but now my crew has moved to the suburbs. So I guess I'm a suburban nana. But lately I've been lost in a sports time space continuum because last night the Dallas Stars lost the Stanley Cup and the French Open is on and all the players are cold and wet and wearing tights. So I'm a little
unbalanced.
It's
confusing.
It's very confusing. So, but well, you know, it's not confusing. I'm happy to be with you sisters.
Oh,
thank you, Julie. All right. Coming up later on in the show, cookbook author Claire Tansey is here. Claire has been with us before. Her cookbook Uncomplicated was super popular with the Satellite Sisterhood and Misterhood. So she's back with her new cookbook Dinner Uncopulated.
Uncopulated. Wow, what? That is quite a twist for her.
Oh my gosh. Dinner Uncomplicated.
Don't. That. Ooh, Leanne. Stop.
Okay. I don't know what's happening.
Well, we definitely need it. We need help in that area, Leanne, because I, for one, am so sick of cooking dinner. I am so sick of it. Okay. Yeah. I just, same old recipe, not of cooking dinner, but the same recipes. We need something new and exciting.
Yes. I think it divides into two groups. You and I, Julie, have been cooking dinner for decades. So we didn't just discover cooking in April, like Liz, you know? So Liz, you're still,
it's all new to me. Oh, this is a revelation to me. Cooking dinner every night. Yeah. Got nothing else to do. So I'm enjoying it.
All right. We'll talk to Claire later on. Stay with me if we can make it through. Hey, we have the winners of our Sat Sisters Look What I Did contest to announce at the end. Julie, this was a great idea from you. This was fantastic.
I mean, this was just the best contest ever. It has been delightful looking at all the posts, both on Facebook and on Instagram. Thank you all so much for all of your entries. That really just, it brightened our days, didn't it?
Yes.
It did. What a lift. It was a true emotional lift. Thank you to everyone. It's amazing what you've been out there doing, big and small.
Yeah, really inspiring. We also have some Satellite Sisters entertainment recommendations coming up. And then Julie and Liz watched that new documentary, The Social Dilemma, that everyone's talking about and that I'm scared to watch. So you guys are going to tell me about it so I don't have to watch it and feel terrible about my life. But first, okay, let's talk about my unbridled holiday decor strategy.
Unbridled?
I just think this is the year, Julie. Why not decorate? Because really, no one's going anywhere. You're really not having a lot of people over. You're not supposed to, at least where we live. You know. So what else are you going to be doing? I feel like holiday decor is a gift you can give the world. You know, you can do the front of your house. You can do inside your house. You just have to go for it this year. Like, if you ever have considered an inflatable, see, this is the year, Jewel, don't you think?
Okay, Leon, I'm listening. I'm listening, and I kind of understand, like, why hold back, okay?
Why hold back? Mm-hmm. Why, it's all in the boxes there in your garage. Get them out. You've got gobs of time between NBA finals.
Don't be tasteful. Just go for it.
Well, it's interesting you should say that, because I was explaining this, our strategy, to my husband this weekend. We could finally work outside because it wasn't million degrees or smoky. So we're outside. I'm like, I'm going to roll out into fall slowly. Okay. So we have to change the decorative flags. Let's just go with the fall theme. The first couple weeks of October will be fall. Okay. We're celebrating fall. And then we're going to move into Halloween. Then we're going to switch back to fall harvest. And then we move into Thanksgiving. And then we swap out for Christmas. Like, that's
the plan. I mean, move over, Martha Stewart. Your calendar is much more ambitious than what she's got on her monthly calendar.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I'm curious, brand-wise, what the difference is between fall and fall harvest. I'm looking forward to knowing more about that.
Hay bales, Liz. Come on.
Yeah. Pilgrims, turkeys, Liz. You definitely commit more to the Thanksgiving idea. And again, for us, a lot, as you've mentioned in the past, it goes down to our decorative flags. So we have fall flags and then we have Thanksgiving flags. So that's how we distinguish it. And then I'll add just more yellows and oranges as we move into the Thanksgiving time.
Yeah.
So I set up the fall. I get the mums. I get the gourds. I'm out there. I'm buying stuff. It's all happening. And my husband, he's got his electrical thing on. And I can tell he's like wiring and doing lighting. I'm like, what are you doing? He's like, well, I just thought I'd do some lighting in the front. I was like, well, this is exciting. You know, like, we never really done lighting for fall. And of course, I have orange strings of lights and purple strings of lights, right? We own those for our Halloween extravaganza.
Uh-huh.
So at the end of the day, I look out, I've got all the fall palette going, and I look at the front tree. I said, you put blue lights on the tree?
That's not the fall palette. Not the fall palette.
Not the fall palette.
Your husband is colorblind, right, Leon?
He's colorblind.
And he doesn't know the difference between Leon.
And so, well, I wanted to give him that. Like, did you know those are blue lights on the tree? That's how I framed it. And he said, yeah, I thought those would be. I said, what message are you sending? Is this a political message?
That's a good question, Leon.
It sounds like me in a marketing meeting, Leon, when I'm dealing with like actual employees. Like, so what are you going for here? Is a good way to not be too negative in the way you pose the question.
So then he said, well, I thought it'd be good for Halloween. I was like, Halloween? That is not. First of all, you're way ahead of the calendar. I described to you, Halloween doesn't come into the last week of October. It just. And then he turned them on Saturday night. I'm like, well, this is a real miss for me. I'm not enjoying the blue lights. But he does the lighting. So he does a fine job most other times. So if you're driving by your house and you're like, what are those blue lights? I don't know. I don't know what they are.
I think most people are going to assume they have some very deep meaning. And you should just go with it, Leon. Right?
Yeah. Right. So that's what's happening at our house. That's the unbridled holiday decor.
And do you expect that he'll be changing the color of the lighting as the seasons change or?
He'll change. Christmas. He does the Christmas lighting. He's big on. So
I think he'll
change. Actually, apparently if he thinks blue is a Halloween color, I can't imagine what he thinks is a Thanksgiving color.
How about some music, Leon? It'd be good out there.
Oh, well, you know, we have the projections and everything. So it's coming. So so it's we may. I have Colin on my team this year. So he has some good audio visual skills. So we may, even if there are no trick or treaters.
Yeah. This could be the year for fake snow, too. So don't rule that out. Because really, the only in Southern California, the only way we know what time of year it is these kind of color cues and fake things that we're doing. Because otherwise, the weather pretty much stays the same or just gets hotter. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Right. Well, I'm looking forward to the photo essay that will follow, you know, 2020 fourth quarter. That's going to be good. That's and I like the fact that you're using your exterior just to cheer people up, Leanne. It's a pick-me-up. It's a pep talk. You're doing a visual pep talk for your people. I like it. I like the commitment. Okay. I have something else that could really pep you up, people. And it's actual good news about aging, which you just don't hear very often, right? Because just
we're
even
skeptical, Liz. Yeah.
Okay. Well, this was an article from Fast Company magazine, Julie, and basically the idea here is, you know how old people today don't seem as old as the ones you met like 20 or 30 years ago. Do you ever think about that? Like, I can't believe I'm my age. And when 30 years ago, people my age seemed a lot older. Did you ever wonder if it's just you or if it's true? Because I did. Yeah. And here's the good news. It's true. Yes. We are aging better. So a new study in Finland found that today's older people have notably higher physical and cognitive capabilities. The second part was important to me because I seem to have spent most of the pandemic looking for things. And that is, considering I hardly ever leave the house, that was a worry. But okay. So hundreds of Finlanders aged 75 to 80 were given a battery of physical and cognitive tests 30 years ago. And then they did the same thing again with a bunch in the same age cohort now. And it showed the modern group showed substantial differences. So walking speeds, like 0.4 meters faster, grip strengths were stronger, knee extension strengths were much higher, like up to 47% higher.
These are pretty low bars, though.
These are depressing. Okay.
All right. But also better verbal.
If that's all, like if I can still do a knee extension, then
Well, you just got to start with the basics, Julie. If you can't do a knee extension, you're screwed, right? And if you can't walk, I mean, you of all people, walking speed is sort of your brand.
Yeah.
You know, if you felt like your walking speed was declining, that would be a major sign. But also, this age group now has better verbal fluency, reasoning, and working memory. So old people are actually younger than they used to be. So I think that's great. And good news for us. Now, two caveats here, I would say, first of all, is that these are Finlanders. And, you know, those...
You know, we talked about them. They're outside all the time. You know,
That whole Scandinavian region.
Yeah.
Are they aging in a different way than we are? Maybe. I would believe the average Finlander might have better knee extension strength, Julie, than the average American, right?
Okay.
So that's just something to think about. But the other thing to think about, the point they make in the story, is what we need to get used to is not being better older, but what's actually happening is that midlife is being extended. We are middle-aged longer, what used to be associated with middle age, which, you know, if you had said that to me 20 years ago, that would have bummed me out. Now, I think that's a fantastic idea. So now that I'm closer to the alternative, I still don't even like the fact that I can get into grocery stores early. I am not even really admitting that to myself. So we're going to be middle-aged longer, and I am totally cool with that. So that's my good news about aging.
Okay. All right, Liz. I think we'll take that to heart. Well, you know, I wanted to bring up something that's getting a lot of discussion, and that's Netflix. It's their newly released documentary called The Social Dilemma. Now, Liz, you've seen this, right?
Yes, I have.
And Leon, you haven't, but you're going to see it soon. But this is a hybrid documentary. It's half documentary, half drama. It's about an hour and a half, and it examines various ways that social media and social networking companies have manipulated human psychology to rewire the brain. Okay, which is nice, isn't it? So it's this. The documentary is told through a series of interviews with engineers and executives, and also then there's this scripted drama about an American family that is essentially falling apart because of social media. Okay, What I found, I mean, there were a couple of takeaways for me, and Liz, I'll be interested to hear what your takeaways are. That number one, that only a handful of people, and this does not include Mark Zuckerberg, really know what's going on. That's one of the clear messages coming through this. There's a handful of engineers, programmers that really understand the dynamic of what's going on. All of us users, many executives that are in this field don't really comprehend the power of things that are going on. They had one engineer describe it, and he said, okay, picture your brain, then picture a phone, and then picture a computer, okay? The computer is getting smarter every day through artificial intelligence. Every day it's getting smarter. Your brain is not. And at some point, this is not a good dynamic. Okay, so that was pretty powerful. I think, you know, it's a really, be prepared after watching this. Liz, did you feel the urge to deactivate your entire social media accounts from after watching this?
Yeah, I was especially ashamed at the fact that I was on social media most of the time that I was watching it, you know, just sort of things up. I'm sure I'm not alone that, like, most of the time I'm watching TV now, I do have a second screen all fired up. So that's not good. So, yeah, right. You definitely want to disconnect. But the flip side, Julie, is that they say that what makes these social networks so strong is that humans have a biological imperative to connect. So, which I think we've always known at Satellite Sisters, right? We always say, stay connected. So we want to connect, but we think these networks are connecting us in the way we want, with the people we want, with the information we want. But that's not really what they're doing. It says they're not designed to give you what you want. They are just designed to take you down a rabbit hole of something.
Right.
And you can definitely see that if you just look at your own behavior. Yeah. They're kind of guiding you around by the nose more than you are likely to admit.
Right. I think so. That part of it is eye-opening. And some of it is, you feel like they're interviewing, Leon, these engineers, these executives, some of whom are sitting in what look like lovely, you know, homes and things like that, talking about the ills of social media. And I was like, well, now they feel guilty now that they've exploited us, you know. But it really did break down how social media companies take advantage of users, especially teenagers.
Yeah.
Through any number, you know, through the notification function on their phones. Mm-hmm. And as, you know, as it is now well documented, this can lead to more anxiety, more depression. And it's really a very serious issue for it.
Yeah.
So the family drama part of the documentary was a little hokey, Liz, but I think it did make some really powerful points. All of the engineers towards the end of this documentary were asked, well, do they let their kids use, devices? And they're all like, no, we don't let any of our kids use devices, or, you know, they're only get it 1 hour a day. So it was, you know, they were in their own lives. They don't allow the people that are in their family to get hooked on this social media. So it is very thought-provoking. There are no answers in this documentary. It doesn't provide any solutions, but it does make you really stop and think about how you're using social media and, how much time you're spending on it. And, I think it's well worth watching.
Yeah, I think so too. And a lot of it is about you think you're getting what you want, but you're really being manipulated by them to like take you down these rabbit holes or sell you something. And also, I think, you know, we all think like, well, our network is our people and we're getting to connect. And obviously, we love social media. We love the Satellite Sisters Facebook group and all of that. But I think people make assumptions. At one point, they had one of the experts say that like everyone thinks that everyone is seeing the same things. So the people in your group are all seeing the same things, but you're not. You're all seeing something different. And because they know everything about you and they're pushing different things your way. So it's the way they put it in the documentary, they said it's not like one big Truman Show where there's this whole fake drama going on. We're getting 2.7 billion separate Truman Shows.
Right.
So, and I've noticed that even when people say, well, I posted it on Facebook, didn't you see it? Well, no, because people are assuming that all their friends see everything they post, which is just at the simplest level, you should know that has never been true. So it's not,
right.
you think of it as a bulletin board for stuff you want people to know. And at the very least, you need to accept that's not what it exists for. And that's not what it's doing. So I thought that was interesting. In the very end, they said, it's not really the phone that's the existential threat. It's the ability of the phone to bring out the worst in yeah. society. So yeah,
right.
So there's
also that part about that. Yeah, yeah. It's that these, yeah, that the machine is getting smarter. You're
and
we're not, you know,
yeah.
So at some
yeah.
point, that's not a good dynamic. Yeah.
Right.
So,
I make the point at the end, Leanne, that, I mean, there have to be some laws and some regulations about privacy and all of these things that are going on in these black boxes, but we've never done that. People, those, you know, a handful of people in the world are just allowed to do whatever they want. And so there's probably a way to rein this in, and that's what we have to figure out. It was very thought-provoking.
Mm-hmm. But, so this is The Social Dilemma, and it's on Netflix. And yeah, I would check it out.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
All right. Excellent, excellent recap. That's good. I think that's all I need right now. I don't know.
We're not
know
trying
if I
to
lead
you into any particular behavior, Leanne. Me neither. Like, I didn't really like delete everything from my phone, even though now I know I should. So,
I definitely turned off a lot of notifications.
Oh, I had already turned off all my notifications.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. That, yeah, you got to, yes, you have to limit the notifications or just turn them off entirely. Good news at Satellite Sisters. We've never done really almost anything with any of the information we've ever gathered from you. So
there's absolutely no data mining going on at Satellite Sisters.
No.
So
just happy to have you. We're not trying to lead you anywhere. It's just want people to, you know, stay connected.
All right. Coming up, we're going to be speaking with Claire Tanzi. She's the author of Dinner Uncomplicated and a dinner evangelist. So we're going to talk to her about what should we make for dinner. But first, we'd like to thank a couple of sponsors.
Hey, it's Liz and Leanne here, and we want to thank PROS for supporting this episode of Satellite Sisters. Now, you know, Liz, I've been out and about with my new book, The Marriage Sabbatical. The book is getting rave reviews. I'm very happy. But you know what else is getting rave reviews? My hair, Liz, my hair from PROS is getting rave reviews.
Leanne, I am not surprised. You have been on that PROS hair regimen for quite a while. I mean, you have good hair anyway, but now you have great hair because you've really paid attention to it.
Well, Liz, PROS is made for people, not hair and skin types. Personalization is rooted in everything they do, from their in-depth consultation to their made-to-order model. And you know what? I love the regimen they have me on. Do I take the hair vitamins every day? Yes, I do. Do I use my shampoo and conditioner made especially for Leanne Dolan? Yes, I do. I sometimes use the leave-in conditioner when my hair's really dry? I do. And I even have a pre-scalp thing that they give me. Okay, PROS, you're the boss. I'll take it. You tell me what my hair needs. That sounds good. And here's the thing. It's personalization, Liz. For millions of possible formulas, only one is uniquely Leanne's. Okay? And I'm using it. PROS isn't just better for you. It's also better for the planet, Liz. They're a certified B Corp, cruelty-free, and the first and only carbon-neutral custom beauty brand. So, PROS, we love you. I love the photos of my hair. Couldn't be happier.
Photos of your hair. There are people in the photos, too. That's the thing about a book tour. Everybody has their picture taken with Leanne and then post it. So the hair is important.
Couldn't be happier, PROS. Pros is so confident that you'll bring out your best hair and skin, they're offering an exclusive trial offer of 50% off your first subscription order at pros.com/sisters. So you get your free consultation, then 50% off at pros.com/sisters. And Pros is spelled P-R-O-S-E, pros.com/sisters. Thanks, Pros.
We're excited to welcome back to Satellite Sisters, Claire Tanzi, cookbook author, and happy publication day, Claire, because Dinner Uncomplicated is out. You've done it. You've launched a new cookbook into the world. Thank you for being on today.
Oh, there's no place I'd rather be. Thank you for having me on my very special book birthday.
Well, oh yeah. You know, since you've been on last, well, you were on with Liz, Cooking with Liz, yeah. But Liz has become the unexpected cook in our family. So
yeah, I love it.
It's because I'm not tired of it, Claire, because I haven't been doing it my whole life. It's all new to me. All new to me. So thank you for some of the guidance you've provided on Cooking with Liz.
Sure. All right. How are you doing now? Let's start with just general, like how you're in Canada. So how are you guys doing over the last 6 months with this whole pandemic and lockdown? How's your family? Has it changed your routines any in terms of dinner?
It has. Yeah. So everybody's safe and healthy, which is fine. I miss my parents. They live about 5 hours away, so we haven't been able to see them. And I have an 8-year-old son. A lot of the pandemic has been mitigating his boredom, anxiety, and our parental frustration with having a jerk in the house 24 hours a day.
Isn't that nice, Mom?
I know. He's a real sweetheart. If only you can miss him. But school did start for us. So he went back into real school about 2 weeks ago. Masks on and protocols in place. So that has been a fantastic and wonderful change. But when it comes to dinner, I mean, now, geez, we've always had dinner together almost every night, the three of us, my husband, Michael, and Thomas, and I. And this was not really any different. The only difference was that we got really bored of each other really quickly.
Yeah.
Nothing to talk about. And at one point in May, Michael, my husband, he'd spent all of his free time designing and building a shed in our backyard, which is great. Great to have a husband pandemic project. And Thomas had been playing this video game called Minecraft for hours end. Mm-hmm. And so we were sitting at the table and all Thomas could talk about was Minecraft and all Michael could talk about was the shed. And I said, that's it. No, we're not having, there shall be no more words on either of these two subjects. And literally, we ate in silence. Nothing else to say to each other. Oh, boy. But, you know, I'm really grateful that we've always had the dinner ritual to kind of lean on. It was already in place for us. So no matter what the day throws at us, you know, timeouts, rising case numbers, whatever it is, we've always been able to at least come to the table and have some pleasant time together every day.
Yeah, I mean, you're a real dinner ritual evangelist, really. I mean, there's a reason you just wrote a book called Dinner Uncomplicated, and that started years ago, not since the pandemic. So what is special? Minecraft conversations aside, and I know, believe me, oh my gosh, as a mother, your brain, the video game conversation, it's just a tune out. You just could not care less about one.
Right.
But why is the dinner ritual important?
Well, it's amazing that this sort of regular, very relatively boring, somewhat banal thing that we do every day, which is eat dinner, actually is the opportunity for us as a family to connect with each other in a really low stakes, kind of easy breezy way. We do it every day. You don't have to have a serious conversation, obviously, since all we talked about was Minecraft, but it's like an anchor to the day. It's something that we know is going to happen every day. It's predictable and we're there. And yeah, if big things are happening, if we all have big emotions, they usually come out of the dinner table. We talk about logistics of the family and all that other stuff. And also we just kind of enjoy each other's company, which can seem difficult when you're living with somebody, two other people, 24 hours a day locked up. But the other thing is that when you look at the kind of wider, bigger, broader benefits of dinner, it actually will make you healthier and happier in five big aspects of life. Your mental health, it'll be really good for your calmness and your de-stressing. It's good for your physical health because if you're eating something home cooked, it doesn't matter how greasy and fried it is, it's going to be better for you than packaged food. It's better for your financial health because you're saving money. It's better for the planet. And it's really amazing for those family relationships. I remember one time hearing a parenting expert describe the best kind of parenting as the potted plant parent. I'm sure you guys have heard of this. Maybe I heard it from you. That like the ideal parent is kind of there. The kid always knows that you're there, just like a potted plant, but you don't really say much until they come to you and ask. And so that's a lot of what dinner is like for us. But also, again, it's just that peaceful, predictable place that we know we're going to meet every single day.
Have you been happy to see this renaissance then? I mean, people have literally been forced to cook at home. So is it been a surprise to you? Does it delight you or make you laugh when you see people posting some really basic stuff on Facebook, like they just cooked a 4-star Michelin dinner?
I totally love it. Like I, with all of the negative, horrible things that COVID has brought us aside, I love that it's sort of reset everybody. And, you know, it used to make me so mad when people would say either I don't have time to cook or I don't know how to cook. And I would think, well, my goodness me, we've been, as humans, we've been doing this for thousands of generations. Of course you know how to cook. It's in your DNA. So dig deep and figure it out. And honestly, make a grilled cheese sandwich. Like, it's fine. So on the one hand, it's been sort of like, fantastic. You're finally here where I am. And at the same time, I also experience the exhaustion of it all. Oh my gosh, another dinner to make. We have no relief, right? Like no dinner parties, no birthday parties for my kid to go to, no restaurant night out. So it can be a bit of a slog. And I completely appreciate that because I feel it too.
You know, the tagline for your book is so funny. It's 2 p.m. Do you know what you're making for dinner? I mean, I really, really. That made me laugh.
My husband asked me that at 6 a.m. in the morning. What are we having for dinner tonight? Oh.
My husband will ask me that about, like, what are we having for dinner on Saturday? He's so excited about it. But it's like, it's this low volume stress, I call it, of every day you've got to make dinner. And yeah, if you don't know what you're going to make, and, you know, for many women, especially, the responsibility usually falls on us, then it just feels like yet another thing you have to do. So how can we alleviate that stress?
The book is chock full. I mean, it's a complete strategy on how to manage dinner. So not only is it like 95 really good recipes, and we've all been cooking them all week, Claire, so we're going to talk about a few, but you also have like the meal planning and the types, and you have a million ideas in there. And the very basic thing, you added a flap onto the front of the book, you know? Oh my gosh.
It's the little things, isn't it?
It's life changing. So you can flap the recipe you're cooking. So when you have to keep opening the book, it's there. I was like, she thought of everything.
And we also bound it in a certain way that it will actually lie a bit more flat on the counter than my previous book. So I heard people saying the book doesn't lie flat and that's annoying. And the last thing I want to do is be annoying.
Okay, Claire, even I noticed that it laid open, because I am not, you won't be surprised to know, I'm not one of those people that owns a like cookbook holder, you know.
That's all right.
Not yet.
I'm Crate and Barrel on the blower to order that. Yeah. So the fact that it would just lay flat in the flap, Leanne, I noticed that too. But it's funny. I mean, you guys have been cooking most nights for most of your life. For me, I am still appreciating just the pleasure of having something to do at the end of the day, but more also because I'm still trying to live by my Cooking with Liz rule of only going to the store once a week. To just, I've been forced to plan ahead and think ahead. So you have all of these types of cooks, which I think we're going to review the types that you have here, but I've gone from being, let me say, I think a wing nut is what... Oh my God. I've gone from being a wing nut, which is a one meal at a time winger, to being a semi. So I'm semi planning, and I'm enjoying that kind of personal growth, Claire. So, and your cookbook definitely helps me do that.
Everybody loves to be able to officially leave the wing nut category, you know?
Yeah. So describe you have the different types of plant meal planners. You have the batcher, the semi, the camper, and the wing nut. So what are some of the characteristics?
Well, this was the thing I realized pretty early on when I was writing this book, and I knew I wanted to write a book that was exactly as you said, chock full of every kind of tool I could think of to make that daily dinner ritual easier, more fun, less stressful. And I realized fairly early on that meal planning was a pretty important piece, which was really bad because I hate meal planning. Like, don't tell me what to do. I, even if it's me telling me what to do, I don't know. By Thursday, I'm ripping up that meal plan and winging it. So I did a ton of research into different ways that you can approach the concept of meal planning, the concept of planning something out so that you can relieve that low volume daily stress. Yeah, so there are five types. The first type, the classic, is what we probably think of meal planning. You just write down a recipe for every night that you're going to be eating at home. You go out, you do your shopping, you stick to the plan, everything's great. You know, you start all over again in 2 weeks. So that's one way, which is great for people who have, like, you know, organized schedules, predictable schedules. But then for anybody who maybe struggles with authority or maybe has a slightly more unpredictable schedule, there are a few other ways. There's the camper system, which is very common. People love the camper system. It's based on the summer camp model. So every night of the week has a theme or a protein. So you have vegetarian night, pizza night, one pot wonder night, chicken night. Mm. So the themes can repeat, and I usually recommend like a 2 week series, but then the individual recipe can be different. So maybe on pizza night, sure, one night you're having a Hawaiian pizza. Maybe then the next time you're having pizza night, it's like a Turkish menakish flatbread kind of a thing, or a calzone or something like that. So you're staying within the theme, but you're at least being creative and switching it up with your recipes. Then there's the batcher, and the batcher is somebody who can take some time at some point during the week, usually on a weekend, to stock the freezer, either with ready meals or with the building blocks for meals. And for people who, you know, truly have zero time, who have long commutes or have, you know, meetings that go right up until dinner time and the kids come home and they're screaming, that's a really good system to use. And I actually think everybody should have a touch of batcher in them because it's so nice to have something waiting for you in the freezer.
Yeah. Yeah, right? I agree. Yeah.
And you know what I learned though, Claire, about myself? I like having like the supplies in the freezer, like some pork chops in there or something, but I don't like making food and then freezing it. That's just like, it just feels like old leftovers to me. So it's just not my thing.
No, and who wants to eat old leftovers? And honestly, especially if you're on your own cooking for yourself, what are you going to do? Make a pot of chili and then eat it for 16 straight days? No way.
Exactly. Thank you for understanding. Thank you, Claire.
I feel the same way.
Yes.
So that's why there's a whole section in the book. There's a whole chapter, which I call the Sunday Stash, where I've given you a sort of instructions on how to make the four really basic building blocks for meals. Big batches of cooked whole grains, a parsley pesto, a bolognese sauce, and a really lovely brothy beans. But then you don't just have to eat that out of the freezer. I'm giving you three different ways to use it. So three different meals you can make with this one building block.
Because it's a great section. I love that section.
I love it too. So anyway, Liz, you said you're a semi, which is a great intro to meal planning. So you just pencil in a few nights a week. And like you said, if you've got the supplies on hand and you want to make pork chops tonight, or maybe you don't, you can make that decision. Mm-hmm. And then the beloved wing nut, we've all been a wing nut at some point in our lives. You just cook on a whim. You've got no idea, but you're having a good time.
Mm-hmm. Oh, those were the days, right, Jewel, when we could be wing nuts? All right, so we made some meals. Julie, do you want to talk about the meal you made from your wonderful cookbook Dinner Uncomplicated? What'd you make, Jewel?
I made the covered dish. I made the pad thai shrimp with noodles. You know, I loved it. I love that you have so many international flavors in this cookbook, and that's really fun. But this was a delicious recipe. I lived in Thailand for 5 years, Claire, so I'm very fond of Thai food. And it was just easy to assemble, but it had a nice, fresh taste to it, which I loved.
I'm so glad.
Yeah, no, I really had a fresh taste to it. That was good. I substituted out I went with some big, fat, sweet Texas Gulf shrimp instead of the little shrimp you called for.
Well, that's allowed. Where okay, I live, it's you. The small shrimp is what I can get. If I live near Texas or in Texas, then I would certainly use those as well.
Okay. But it
I'm
was,
so glad you said that, because I also have been to Thailand many times, and I find when you're there, the food just tastes fresher and brighter and zingier and zestier. So I really wanted to capture that with that recipe.
Yeah, that it had a great flavor. So that was that. That's going in rotation for me. I'm kind of a camper. That would be my style. So I'm definitely going to put it on the sort of semi-permanent rotation to do that dish. Thank you.
All right. I made the pork chops, which has long been a challenge of mine. That pork chop recipe is a dinner because it's a winner because it's so easy to dry out pork chops. And yours was just easy and done because I make another pork chop recipe from Fine Cooking Magazine that is like 82 steps and 36 it's great. The kids love it. It's their favorite meal. But I'm like, I just don't have enough 4 hours to devote to these pork chops tonight for dinner. So yours is fantastic. That little touch of sweet vermouth at the end. Oh my gosh. That's what you do. You take a basic, but you add just a little bit of something that makes it great. And then the turkey burger recipe. Again, I can't eat a lot of red meat anymore. So I eat a lot of turkey and it does also dry out. And oh my gosh, your turkey burger recipe is delicious. So thank you very much, Claire.
You are welcome. I was determined with that turkey burger. And I will tell you, it took a lot of tests to get that right because I found the same thing. It didn't have flavor. It was kind of rubbery. So I wanted to make it really, really delicious and juicy, but without 86 steps. Yeah. So I tried mixing in everything. I scoured the internet for every crazy turkey burger hack out there. And then it turned out that the secret was actually using a generous amount of Dijon mustard.
Yes.
Which is so interesting but it doesn't taste mustardy. I don't think you
no.
would say. Yeah.
No.
It just tastes really rich and juicy.
Yeah.
Wow.
No, we got the whole family on it. Regular rotation, the truly juicy okay. turkey burger. All right.
And Dijon mustard is the kind of thing I even have. So that's good.
Okay, Liz.
Well, no weird ingredients.
Yeah, it's been a life changer for me to just actually have a pantry, Claire, or what I call Liz's larder, things on hand that I never would have had in the old days. So I made your tandoori-ish chicken. Because, as you know, from watching Cooking with Liz, my slogan is peace and sauce. And that had such a good looking yogurt marinade thing as part of the recipe. It's like, okay, I got to get on top of that. And that is delicious. But it had an ingredient, smoked paprika in there, right? So it's not traditional tandoori flavor. It has a little more kick, which I enjoyed. But the old Liz, the pre-pandemic Liz would have said, I'm not going to go buy smoked paprika. I'll never use that again. Mm-hmm. But now that I'm cooking, I thought, well, I will use it again if I make this dish again. So it's worth the investment in some of these supplies. So I bought the smoked paprika. I made the whole thing exactly as you told me to make it. And it was really, really delicious. So thank you again for elevating my game. The smoked paprika really elevated that whole situation. Thank you.
So glad. Smoked paprika is actually one of my 8 essential spices. A couple of years ago, I kind of did this deep dive into my spice drawer, which is absolutely rammed with a million things, as you can probably imagine. And I was like, okay, can I get it to under 10 of the essential spices that I use again and again and again? And smoked paprika kept coming up. So if you keep cooking through the book, you're going to find lots of uses for smoked paprika. And sure, if anybody listening is like, there's no smoked paprika in Indian curries, Claire. Oh, I know. Don't worry. But yeah. I got the idea. I was teaching a cooking class at our local community college, and I had 2 students who were Indian. They had just moved to Canada from India. And they said, we were talking about tandoori chicken and how wonderful it is and how hard it is. And they said, oh, you've got to use smoked paprika in it because that's what gives it the smokiness that we miss in North America because we don't cook it in the tandoor.
Yeah.
So thank you to V and Rajesh for getting me onto the smoked paprika. But again, smoked paprika, not scary. And you will use a ton of it.
Okay. I own it now. So yes, I'm going to. Yeah.
Leanne, look for that on the Thanksgiving table. Liz is going to show some smoked paprika. butternut squash.
Okay, good combo.
You know, Claire, you're actually offering an online what to make for dinner class, right? I noticed that. What's happening there? People can tune in and sign up for that if they're really looking to up their game?
They certainly can. I am going to be every other week on a Tuesday. I'm going to be making, I'm going to be making dinner. And if you sign up for it, I actually kind of got this idea from you, Leon, from your virtual book clubs. I thought,
okay,
you know what?
Welcome.
I'm going to steal an idea from Leon. She seems smart.
Yeah.
So if you sign up, because I want people to really show up, it's not just going to be like a Facebook Live. It'll actually be a Zoom link. And you show up and you'll get the recipe in advance. And so you can, if you want, go out and buy all the ingredients and then come and cook along with me and we'll make dinner together. And it'll be every other Tuesday. And I think we're actually just going to start at page one and go through the book page by page.
Oh my gosh, that's a really fun idea. Well, I think people are really looking for things to do. And as we know, you know, from Satellite Sisters contest, Look What I Did, people are cooking a lot, but they're expanding their repertoires. That sounds fun. Do you have some people have signed up already? You got some folks tuning in?
Well, I gotta get it organized, Leanne. So that's actually on my to-do list for the rest of today. So please tune in. I will keep you posted. I will post in the Facebook group when that is all locked and loaded and ready to go. But I was having some trouble with Eventbrite yesterday. And, you know, sometimes technological challenges, they can slow you down.
I hear you. I mean, dinner's one thing, but Crowdcast is another. I know, all new skills. You're learning all new skills with this book launch, because I'm sure you had a whole different plan in mind. But I got to tell you, the book is great. It's like a must read if you're looking just to expand, even if you're thinking, I can't cook dinner again till January 1st. No, you could do it. If you buy this book, it's gonna give you inspiration to up your game. We're going to put we're going to put the tandoorious chicken and the juicy turkey burger recipes in our newsletter this week. So make sure you're subscribed to Pep Talk. Claire, thank you so much for being on. It's always fun to talk to you. What are you making? I mean, I know it's your pub date, so maybe you're ordering out tonight. But what are you making for dinner tonight? What's happening?
I've got the chicken taco chili actually in the slow cooker right now. I can't tell you what page. It's in the set it and forget it chapter. And I love it, and it's really easy. We had the caramelized onion and sausage orecchiette last night. I'm pretty much forcing my family to just eat through the book, but that's okay because they're happy to do that.
Yeah, that's a lucky family. Well, Claire, we wish you all the best. Come back anytime, okay?
So wonderful to be here. Thanks for having me.
Liz and Leanne here, and we are so grateful to have Osea support Satellite Sisters. Why? Because it's just a great product. Holy cow, do we love Osea's skin and body care. And you know what? This Mother's Day, just look no further than Osea. Spoil the moms in your life with the little luxuries from Osea. The moms, the stepmoms, the bonus moms, the people who bring a touch of something special to your life. Aunts, grandmothers, they would love a little Osea this Mother's Day. And you can get 10% off your first order by using our code SATSISTERS at OseaMalibu.com. And Liz, you know what every mother and mother figure needs?
What?
More moisture, Liz. They need more moisture in their skin.
I mean, really, the creams, the lotions, the oils, I love it all. That duo they have going. Oh. Like, you can't miss with the duo of Osea.
Liz, the Mega Moisture Duo. Yes. You can literally see your skin get firmer, and it just delivers this full body glow. Okay, you know we have raved about the Undaria Algae Body Oil. Mm-hmm. Well, pair that with the Undaria Collagen Body Oil. Youthful, yeah. Liz. Your youthful glow is going to happen. And it's infused with Osea's signature Undaria seaweed. So it just smells so delicious, doesn't it?
I know you're talking about giving it as a gift. I also suggest just giving it to yourself because you're worth it.
That's true. That is absolutely true. Okay, that moisture duo I mentioned too is a great value because you can save 16% plus the extra 10% with our code SADSISTERS. So this is it. This is a win-win-win Mother's Day gift. Spoil the moms in your life with clean vegan skincare and body care from Osea. Get 10% off your first order site-wide with the code SATSISTERS at OseaMalibu.com. And you get free samples in every order and free shipping on orders over $60. OSEA is spelled O-S-E-A. So head on over to OSEAMalibu.com and use code SATSISTERS for 10% off. Thanks, OSEA.
All right, we're back. Whew, here we go. That was fun to talk to Claire. She's always lively.
Yes, she's an inspiration. Because also she makes things simple. Everything in that book, it's, you know, even if it's a little stretch for me, like it's not a million different pans and ingredients and things. It's actual dinner you can make after a day of working. So yeah, that was fun.
Yeah. So if you want to get those recipes, please subscribe to Pep Talk, our weekly newsletter. Those will be in this week's newsletter. Also coming up, we have Locktober, right? So next week, October starts, but it's Locktober at Satellite Sisters. We're just going to give you a few extra interviews to help get you through October. Okay. We all need a little bit more right now, and we got it for you, Locktober. So we're going to be talking to a therapist on goal setting now and grief and loss. We have Michael Ian Black, the comedian, coming on to talk about his new book, A Better Man, A Mostly Serious Letter to My Sons. We have experts coming on to talk about relationships, friendships, getting through the holidays with your family, what to do about the holidays. So we're bringing it in October, and we're calling it Locktober. So if you haven't subscribed yet, or you feel like you need a little extra help, we're there for you starting next week, Locktober.
That sounds so fun. But you know, Leanne, you know what today is? It's the end of our contest. Sat Sisters, look what I did. I'm both excited because you're going to announce the winners, but I'm a little bit sad that it's over because it's been so delightful. And I wanted to give a particular shout out this week to Andy, who posted she had gave up coloring her hair. Carrie and her dog went hiking, so that has been good. Kathy made a playhouse for her granddaughter, and I'm a little bit jealous because it's pretty darn good. Did you see that? Okay, no. Wendy's been in a virtual choir. That sounds good.
Oh,
and
Wendy.
And Jay Tomsick, she got herself a pair of animal print Rothy shoes, and she loves them, okay? Holly has been painting kindness rocks and leaving them around her neighborhood. How wonderful is that? And Margie, Irish step dancing. Did you see that?
Oh, I saw that.
I
inspiration.
It is. I've always wanted to learn how to do Irish step dancing. I didn't do that. So it has been just a wonderful month of gardeners and knitters and organizers and bakers and glassmakers and teachers, essential workers and quilters and painters and remodelers and caregivers and dancers and weavers and cooks and puzzlers and walkers and runners and hikers. We just want to thank you all because you have brightened our day with your beautiful pictures and notes, and you've inspired us all. And I hope you have enjoyed it as much as we have.
Yes, and we have the prizes, too, for the people. Remember, we told you that one winner from the Facebook group and one winner from Instagram was going to get a bag of Satellite Sisters merch. So I ordered this, like, I don't know, weeks ago. I had completely forgotten about it until yesterday. I walked into the lobby of my building, and there were all of these boxes for me. I'm like, it's like Christmas in September. What is happening here? And I realized it was all the prizes I had ordered for the people who are the winners. So I have a whole like beautiful Satellite Sisters bag here in front of me. And among the things that are in here, you're going to get like a Satellite Sisters hat. There's a Satellite Sisters apron, of course.
Nice.
We were just talking to Claire and, mm-hmm. you know, now that I've become a chef, we have a...
Still shocking.
We have a Satellite Sisters travel mug, which I think is totally suitable for traveling from your kitchen to your living room and to your bedroom. There's no law that says you have to travel any further than that. You're getting a copy of our book, You're the Best, A Celebration of Friendship, because it's the perfect season for that. And Claire is giving you a copy of her book, the one we just talked to her about, Dinner Uncomplicated. So that's many of the things. That's not the complete list of what's in here, but this is a nice little bag of merch that the two of you, and remember, it was a random drawing, so we're not judging what you accomplished so far, because we love all of you. But two of you are getting this. I'll be very excited to actually figure out how I'm going to mail this. We'll work
right
on that.
I mean, if Liz right actually gets that to the post office, #SatSisters, look what I did.
I know you guys were reluctant to give me the responsibility, but I have all the merch. So, okay, I'm going to do it. No, I'm promising right here. I'm going to get this done.
Okay, all right. Our winners. Why wait? Our winners. I pulled them this morning in a random drawing. Congratulations from Facebook. The winner is Mary Ann Lee. Now, Mary Ann Lee was one of the bakers out there, but she said the first accomplishment was to obtain some yeast. You did it. And then she made a batch of Finnish cardamom bread using Grandma Elsa's recipe. Okay. She made 8 beautiful braided loaves. And she loved them, she said, especially toasted with strawberry jam. Mary Ann Lee, beautiful bread. Thank you for posting. You are a winner from Facebook. I think Mary Ann is from Portland, if I did my research correctly, Portland, Oregon. And from the other side of the country, the Instagram winner, Susan Luscombe, she actually walked part of the Appalachian Trail in New Hampshire. So, Susan, you are our Instagram winner. It pains me to give it to a hiker. I'm kidding. Kidding. I love when other people hike. I'm glad they enjoy that. But she posted a fun photo of a trail sign from the Appalachian Trail over there on Instagram. And she will also be getting the swag bag. So that includes the Satellite Sisters merchandise, a copy of You're the Best, and a copy of Dinner Uncomplicated. Thanks to Claire for contributing those. So that's it. So, Julie, you're cooking up another idea around the holidays. So stay tuned.
Around the holidays,
right?
Yes, we're going to have another contest to brighten our days. So and there will be more merch, Liz. Do you got that memo? So get start ordering right now. Yeah.
Well, we're going to have some new holiday merch. I'm not ready to announce it yet, but there's some new products coming to the Satellite Sister store.
Okay. Liz, good work. Good job, Liz. You really...
Okay.
Got nothing else to do, Leanne. Just, that's what I'm working on. That's what I do here all day.
Okay. All right. A few minutes left. We're going to go with Entertaining Sisters. Okay. I want to recommend an audiobook. I just finished The Guest List by Lucy Foley. It's gotten a lot of press this summer. I don't know if either of you have read it. Liz or Julie, have you read it yet?
I have not read it.
I've read about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, it's kind of a sexy Agatha Christie tale. It takes place on this windswept island at this fancy celebrity wedding off the coast of Ireland. And I listened to the audiobook, and the reason the audiobook was great was because the story is told from like 6 different points of view. And so they had 6 different narrators. Like, it was really easy to understand, what was happening, because you got the different voices and there are all these great Irish and English accents. And it was super compelling. Just an 11-hour audiobook, which to me, that's like the ideal amount of time. And I just couldn't put it down. I was thinking of reasons to walk around with my earbuds in to listen to the book in the house. So big twist. It's just a great ending. Really fun. It is a book for grown-ups, so it's like a sexy Agatha Christie, so I'm just saying there's language. And also, because it's British, there's just so much drinking. So if there's, those British, how are any of these people standing? I mean, do they drink? I don't understand. So if that's not your thing, you might want to pass. But if you can stand both, a little bit of language and a lot of gin and tonic, then you would enjoy The Guest List by Lucy Foley. And then my son Colin and I have finally watched The Last Dance, the documentary series, just appeared on Netflix. It's the one ESPN Films did about Michael Jordan.
Have you
seen this?
I did. I watched it when it was on ESPN because it was obviously the talk of the internet. And it's really, really good. Very, very behind the scenes, which I liked.
Super behind the scenes. Like, they shot everything, and those are the best sequences. And I forgot a couple of things. What a tremendous basketball player Michael Jordan was.
Remember?
So good. And how incredibly competitive he is. I mean, and vindictively competitive in a great way. Like, it just like, if you said something in the press, anti-Mike, he was coming for you the next game. I mean, or in practice, or it didn't matter where, he was coming for you. So,
you're thinking, didn't he have something bigger to worry about? No, he never did. Beating you, whoever you were, was always the biggest thing he ever worried about. So you got to love that.
It's true. And then I almost, of course, I remember the whole baseball sojourn, But yeah. I had forgotten some of the details. And again, he blamed Sports Illustrated for ending his baseball career because they wrote an unauthorized cover story about how he should just hang it up and he's an embarrassment. And he has never spoken to Sports Illustrated again. So I like that. I mean, that's...
You like people who hold grudges. Roll, yeah. Good.
Just get yourself a good grievance or two and then stick with it.
Yeah, man. So it's 10 episodes. It could be 7, but it's very thorough. I know, Julie, you mentioned the time sports continuum, and it's odd that the basketball finals are happening now,
they're happening too, along with football. Yeah. It's throwing us through. Yeah.
So,
Leanne, it's funny what you say about the length, because I heard a long interview with the executive producers, and I think it was supposed to be 7. And at the last minute, ESPN told them, we really need 10 episodes from you. So you put your finger on it, sister. They had to stretch it. They had not intended it to be that many episodes.
Yeah. But so it's very thorough is what I would say. But there's some extraordinary behind the scenes footage, and he was quite a player. And the game of basketball has changed a lot in 20 years as they no longer call fouls or traveling or anything like that. So when you see Michael Jordan play, you're like, oh, they're actually playing the game there. It's great. So anyway, I enjoyed it. We've enjoyed it.
Okay, well, at the other end of the entertainment spectrum, from grievances played out on a basketball court, remember last week I said I was on the search for all things nice, for entertainment that would be fun to watch or listen to, but would provide an emotional lift and some positivity without just being sweet and soft. And I got to say, I know I'm late to the party, but nothing fits that description better than the Great British Baking Show. Oh my God. These people.
Liz, your transformation is it's just so complete. Okay. Just mark this date, Leanne. Okay. Okay. Back of all the things. You've been doing this a long time. And Liz is all in on the Great British Baking Show.
It's unbelievable. Well,
Julie, you get a handshake for that, Liz. Yeah.
Everybody's having so much fun with each other, it's just so sweet and so nice. And, it's the judges and the hosts. I like the way they tease each other, Paul and Prue, and I don't know, the guy in the funny shirts. I don't know what his name is, but he's so weird. I like that. The contestants support each other. So I watched it because the new season just started. So I watched the beginning of the new season but then there was nothing else. So I actually went back, started another season, and every night I'm just giving myself a little dose of the Great British Baking Show. And there are loads of seasons. So there's plenty of time there to do that. I'm even adopting some of their language, sisters. I have decided that I have now just started calling Hooper Showstopper. I'm like, okay, Showstopper, here we go. Time to go for a walk, Showstopper. So yeah, too much time alone? I don't know. You be the judge. I don't know.
Okay, Liz. We're happy for you. It's time well spent.
It is. And you know what I like about watching it? Is that they almost at no part, it doesn't make me hungry. No. Can't bake, and I'm never baking any of those things. So it's just when I watch Top Chef, I get hungry and I feel like eating and cooking afterwards. But no, it's like they could be making sculptures out of metal. I can't do that either. So I love. So it's good.
Most of those showstoppers don't even look that appealing to me as food, but they are quite an achievement. So good for them.
Well, Liz, we welcome you. Thank we you. Welcome you to the fandom of the Great British Baking Show. Okay, we would like to thank. I guess that's it. Do people have to-dos? I guess we forgot to put that in the rundown.
I have one. I have one, which is I've now developed this very deep personal relationship with my pharmacist. It started first with my flu shot. I went back and got my shingle shot. On the advice of my doctors, because I know several people in the Facebook group were worried about that. My doctor said it was okay, got that. And while I was getting my shingles shot, my pharmacist, my new best friend, she said, well, maybe you'd like to get the pneumonia shot too. So that's what I'm working on this week.
Wow. Okay, Julie. I have one item. one item for this. We've been talking about all this food and all this prep. I haven't picked my presidential debate menu yet, sister.
Oh, okay.
Like, so what is the perfect thing to be eating and drinking during tonight's?
Huh.
Whatever that turns out to be.
Whatever. So. Whatever. Good luck.
I think you just don't want a whole bottle of anything in front of you, because that might be too tempting. You maybe things that you throw are not a good idea. I don't know. So I haven't picked my debate menu.
All right. Well, I have exciting news that our dance teacher is now doing in-home lessons. He's coming to our house. Now, we're not touching and we're staying 6 feet apart, but we're off of Zoom, and we'll be doing, I'll be doing the rumba outside later on this week. So
perfectly, and good for you. Good for you.
Just got to keep on dancing. Just got to keep on dancing.
That's exciting.
All right. We would like to thank Sergio Enriquez for engineering the show. And thanks to all of the Satellite Sisterhood and Misterhood for supporting our sponsors. It's what makes it possible for us to carry on and do this. And we'd like to thank Claire Tanzi for being our guest today. Claire's book is Dinner Uncomplicated. Everything you need about the show, you can find in the show notes there on your app, or you can go to our website, satellitesisters.com. Liz puts everything in the show notes. All right, sisters, have a great week.
You too.
And don't forget, call your satellite sister.